about to go somewhere odd now. Time's horizon, elevation starts to drop down. A little secret, don't kiss and tell, you're so bad. I'll probably see you in hell. Welcome to hell, baby. This is podcast hell.
We're in. I started off with a burp. Did you hear my burp? Haven't done a solo episode in a while. I usually when I do solo episodes, I hate myself so much listening back. I'm like, this is pretty brutal. So like the last couple ones, I just recorded them and put them out and then listened to the, you know, one by one, the 50 or so listeners, regular listeners on this podcast would just text me the following week and be like, are you okay? So because of that, I've kind of chilled a little bit on the solo pods, but you know, I'm feeling like I got to get back. I got to connect with you guys. You know, we have a guest here and we're shooting the shit and having fun, but you know, in the end, fuck them. It's about me and you. And if you don't like me, you're probably not listening to this podcast. So I figure like the solo episodes are good. It's just, they're not good for, everybody. I don't know, what am I saying? Because I literally just said before that everyone that listens to them is worried about me afterwards. I don't know, whatever. Maybe the audience has changed too. That's the other thing. It's been like 5 months since a solo episode. There are some newsies out there in the audience. You know, you guys have been, you know, you can't get enough Ross Copeland on the podcast, and you've said, you need to keep listening. You know, you come for Ross Copeland, you stay for Eric Helwig. That's been known in the industry for a long time. So, I have a little list of things here that I wrote down that I guess I'll talk to you about. That'll be nice. That'll be fun, I guess. The sword is going to go up on the wall soon, so it stops getting referenced every show. What's funny is, like, I'm self-conscious about, like, oh, God, is the sword going to get referenced every time? And then this is a solo episode where I could have just ignored it, and I fucking referenced it. You know, you are your own worst enemy, they say, and this is a pretty good example. The one thing I'm self-conscious about coming up in every episode, I did to myself. I could have just looked at the sword there sitting on the table and let it... Let laying swords lie, as they say. Anyway, that's on me, sword. Sorry about that. Now, I know you guys, my fans out there, they know I'm probably pretty pumped on Aaron Rodgers being vice president. What that means for this country and, you know, democracy and all that shit, I don't care too much. I just think it'd be funny. I mean, of all the funny things that could happen, of all the reason for a New York Jets quarterback to not produce the way he's being paid to produce, running for vice president, hands down, the most hilarious fail the New York Jets have ever had. I mean, please let it be true. Let that happen. Let me just like... pass a law on AI security, like on 3rd and 2. He's just like signing it on his center's ass and then passing it off. He like straps the legislation to the football and throws it to one of his aides. I mean, it's so crazy. I don't know, man. RFK, I feel like this is not a political show. You know, you vote for whoever you want. I don't care. But if he picks Andrew Yang as his vice president, I'm fucking in, baby. I'm fucking in, all right? Yang. He wants a 4-day work week. He thinks circumcision is crazy. It is. And he's worried about AI, which we all are worried about AI now. He was worried about it 4 years ago, which is when we all should have thought about it. It's so funny to think, like, I've put out enough of this podcast where AI could probably do, like, a reasonable me in a pod. And the biggest criticism in AI is, like, they say things that doesn't fit and they jump from subjects too quickly. And I'm like, oh, I'd be the first. If this podcast had any popularity, I'd be the first thing to get AI'd because I'm like a computer that's not working properly. So Yeah, I don't know. What was I fucking talking about? Oh, Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, probably. I would probably vote for that. I don't know. I'd vote for him over T-Dog. I'm not like a big Trump guy. Not really a big Biden guy. And I fucking dig Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I don't know. What are his policies? What are his... He's like... He has a very strong stance on the 4-3 defense. How fucking great, man. What is happening? What is happening? It's like we need The Rock or McConaughey or one of these guys to like just get real good at like a map. You know, they got to learn where things are. That's tough. Like right now there's like... a lot of celebrities out there with like high likabilities being like, all right, a recent poll came out that says 60% of Americans would support me over either of the two political parties. So someone get a map. What the fuck is Iraq? Like there's these guys don't know anything. They don't know anything. But like at this point, like you just have to be all we need is a mascot for America. Like that makes people happy and can make people get along better. Like we used to. Like the fucking Philly Fanatic. Honestly, if RFK would consider the Philly Fanatic, that would probably be the best move. That I would definitely vote for that too. I gotta say Philly Fanatic, I go, okay, look, let's rank them. Okay, in all seriousness, like enough jokes. I'll go Yang Gang, Philly Fanatic, Aaron Rodgers. Those are my top three picks for RFK. If he wants my vote, it needs to be funny. Or I guess Yang Gang is like my one. Even Yang Gang. Like I do think Andrew Yang has great ideas. I was like really into him in 2020. But if I'm honest, it's mostly because I would say Yang Gang a lot. That was actually the most important part of his candidacy to me. Was getting to go Yang Gang at people until they wanted to blow their brains out. That was humorous, and I'd like to do that again. So if RFK can deliver me annoying my friends for a full 8 months leading up to an election, signed, sealed, delivered, I'm in. Okay, great. There, that's covered, RFK. Yang Gang. And RFK's married to Cheryl Hines, too, which... part of that makes me trust him more because, like, I've seen interviews with Cheryl Hines and RFK will say something about, you know, whatever, vaccines give babies autism, whatever things he says that aren't awesome. And Cheryl Hines would just be like, what did you just fucking say? Like, she gives him the look of, like, I'm not going to suck your dick for a month if you keep up with that. Like, his wife doesn't support him running for president pretty openly. Like, she's not into it. She's not loving it. And to me, that makes me, I trust him more. Like when you see politicians on the road and their wives are always like, you know, he's such a strong, real wives, even if they love their husband, a little piece of them hates him. And they're like, this dude fucking sucks. And you can tell that there's a piece of Cheryl Hines that thinks her husband sucks. And that's the mediating force you need. You know, she's obviously like, you know, he's an interesting guy, like to try to pigeonhole politically. Like he's got like some like stuff that fits more like towards the right. He's got some stuff that fits more towards the left. He's got a little something for everybody. But the fact that he's got a progressive wife makes it so that he will have to mediate his more conservative stuff to still get laid sometimes. Because that is what guys do, is we will say the thing that we believe immediately followed by a qualification so we can get laid. So that makes me trust, like I said, when he says something dumb and his wife rolls her eyes, I'm like, this is the power couple I can get behind. That's real. That's real. Is the wife being like, fuck you for doing this, man. Like that, I can trust that. So I don't know. I think I might, I could. I mean, who knows? Maybe I won't vote at all. I usually, maybe I'll just let Liz vote for me. That might be, I just tell Liz kind of like how I'm generally feeling that day. I'll be like, I didn't eat breakfast. I'm in a bad mood. You know who I would vote for. And just let her fucking, you know, cast it. And it's California, right? We can illegally vote here. So that would be great. I'm all about that. What do we got next? Eagles looking. Did I just say we can illegally vote in California? Is that going to get me banned, YouTube? I got banned on YouTube recently, by the way, for conspiracy. I've complained about it a bunch, but because of them, now you've got my views going over to Rumble too. Hit me up on Rumble, bitches. I'm on Rums. And there is a freedom when you post on Rumble where you're like, I can say anything here. Like that for a comedian feels great to be like, I'm not going to have a joke that gets taken out of context. They're not going to take everything I say seriously. Like, it's a fucking comedy podcast. You should feel free to just make fucking offhand jokes and not be like, oh, let me qualify that. I just want to make sure people know that I don't really think Lizzo killed JFK. There, even just that joke, people are going to be like, does he mean it? No, I don't mean it. But on Rumble, I would just land it. I'd be like, Lizzo did it. It was Lizzo on the grassy knoll. YouTube, it's a joke. It's a joke. Please. Good Lord. So anyway, Rumble. Find me on Rumble. This episode might get taken off of YouTube. It's possible. But if it does, it's because the AI sucks. All right. Let's talk about the Birds. My boys. Oh! Birds. Crushing it in free agency. I still can't believe Saquon Barkley is on the Eagles. It feels like I'm going to have to watch the first game. They're in like fucking Brazil now as the NFL tries to become everything to everyone. They're going to be in Brazil, which is stupid. They're losing a home game to that. But Saquon's going to like walk onto the field. And I'm going to be like, oh God, he's really there. Like that seems crazy. He's in my head as a giant guy. So it's going to take some time to get used to that. But I'm pumped on that, man. That tush push is going to be sick. Saquon can, like, I feel his legs look like, fuck, he looks like a Clydesdale. That dude could probably bench press 600 pounds. You got him and Jalen? Tush push? You guys should be fucking pumped on that. I'm pumped on that. If you're Eagles fans, you should love it. If you're any other team's fans, you don't care. But yeah, I'm into that. I'm into what the Eagles are doing. They got C.J. Gardner-Johnson back. Got signed some linebackers. Kenny Pickett, from Philly. That could, you get a little Philly gusto on old two gloves Pickett. That might do some good. I think he's going to be easier for him to accept a backup role on his favorite team. I don't know, man. We'll see. I think it's going to be a good season. I mean, God, football, it's like it goes away for 2 months and you're like, when is it August again? Oh, I got to talk about fixing football. I fixed football. That was the other thing I did. This is big. So here's what it is. Here's what it is, guys. On Thursday nights, so this would be starting in like late August. Thursday nights, you'd have the UFL, which is like the XFL and the USFL are all, they're like combined. You have UFL football. And UFL football is going to be open to 18 and up. So players don't have to go to college. They can go straight into the UFL or USFL if they want to be pro players. That's Thursday night. No more Thursday night NFL football. That's done. That sucks. Because the players are never ready for it. They're beaten up. The games are terrible. UFL football on Thursdays, that's their night. Friday night, high school football. That's for Friday night. You don't play your shit on Saturday, you play on Friday. Saturday is college football. College football, they can keep the NIL, but they put limits on it. And, basically you're like, you just stop making it a semi-pro sport like they're doing. You go back to all the old conferences, the old rivalries, and the player portal, they make them sit out a year, and you can only transfer twice in 4 years. Basically, you make it so these guys at Georgia that are like 6'5", 300 pounds, just going to school for 1 or 2 years so they can go to the draft. Fuck that. Go to the UFL and then go to the NFL. Stop fucking up college football and making it like Alabama is now a semi-pro team. Fuck that. Even the playing field. No more professional athletes in college football. If you want to get paid when you're 18, you go to the UFL. We all support that league. You make your millions there. And then you go to the NFL if you're good enough. That's what I say. So that's fixed. Then on Sunday, you go to the NFL. And then Monday Night Football stays. And then Tuesday night, you get Maction. You know, your Kent States, your Akrons. And then Wednesday, you're off. Wednesday's off, so your wife, you make love to your wife. She probably doesn't. Women will be miserable for about 4 months. But then all the football's out of the way. Anyway, that was a long-winded way of saying I fix football Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Every league gets a day, and we get college football back, and there's no reason Maryland needs to play fucking Oregon. I've made my point. Football fixed. Eagles looking good. I had a fibery dinner the other night. My wife made edamame pasta. Has anybody ever tried this? Like, we're trying to eat healthy. My wife's doing some health food thing. So I'm just like eating what she made me. She made me this edamame pasta, which I thought was good. She thought it was revolting. She had three bites. She was like, I'm done with this. I was like, I'll fucking finish yours. I ate it. Had a green sauce on it. She had pecans, a little bit of Parmesan cheese. It was good. It was like fancy pasta, fancy non-pasta pasta. And she's not used to bad tasting pasta, but I'm gluten free, so all pasta I eat tastes like shit. So I'm like, this only tastes like a little bit shittier than what I normally eat. It's great. Dude, cut to less than 24 hours later, I've shit five times. Five times from this fibery edamame dinner I had. I mean, it's been insane. I don't think, I think if you have celiac, you can't go high fiber. Like, that's just not a move in that. That's not in my repertoire anymore. Like, I got to look at fiber the same way you look at, like, you know, like Superman looks at fucking kryptonite. Like, it's just, I'm just glued to the can. I mean, it's horrible. It's horrible. I mean, it would be bad if anybody was behind me on the human centipede, but specifically, if they gave me edamame, I'd be like, you got to kill that lady behind me. That's going to be rough. I don't know. I feel that was the grossest thing I've ever said on the podcast. Look, I gotta avoid that. It was, when you eat healthy, it's like people don't realize. Cause like, I'll go through spells where I'll be like, I'm going to eat salad this week. And man, you eat like three salads in a row. You take a dump. It's like Civil War cannons going. It's crazy what salads do. They clean you out, bro. Cleaned out. Like if a strong breeze comes in, I will whistle through my asshole without trying. Like, that's how cleaned out I am. It is wild. I mean, you'd think, like, you know, in the mountain, you're like, all right, burgers, pizza. All right, now you go take a big dump a day later, but it's not how it is. That stuff clogs you up. The salad's just like, it gets stuff moving. It's been wild. I've been like I'm shitting. I feel like I'm like morphing like the thing, like I'm becoming a different, like, oh, maybe I'm an imitation human as I take a dump. Like, it's been fucking insane. I'm going to make a lot of Thing references because I watched that movie for the first time over the weekend with some friends. And if you haven't seen The Thing, it's so well made. You can see, like, you go back, you watch like one of those like well-regarded, you know, 80s, 90s movies. And then you just go, oh, every movie's been trying to do this. Every movie's been recreating what these guys did. It's like the first time I watched the Larry Sanders Show. And I go, oh, it's Arrested Development. This is the Arrested Development. Slightly different plot, but the same. Oh, this is the first version of all the stuff that I like. The Thing feels like that. I know they made a new one. I haven't seen the new one. I can't speak to it. First one is like it's like a perfect movie. So get in there. Check out The Thing. Tell them Eric sent you The Thing. Fiber dinner. What does this say? Dog piss? Why would I write dog piss as a thing to talk about? I don't know. I'll come back to that. Is TikTok getting banned? I'm okay with it because I'm getting a lot of followers on Clapper. So do your thing, U.S. government. I don't know how to feel about that because I'm kind of like, I am a free speech guy. I think people should have the right to make themselves morons on TikTok, which is exactly what they're doing. You know how China has like a completely different way of using TikTok. Like, if you're under 8 years old or whatever, or 10 years old, you go on TikTok and it's all like science games and patriotic images. There's no like fucking Tide Pod challenges in China, like, they're not trying to make their kids dumb. They're trying to make them smart so they can kick our ass. But then in every other country, TikTok is for morons. And it's like people like constantly like self-diagnosing themselves with shit and just making people miserable and dumber and shorter attention spans. And it's like, as I'm doing this, I'm talking myself into banning it. I mean, it's clearly like, I guess if an American company buys it, it's better than if it's Chinese owned and it's, they're just collecting that data. But it's still like, I don't know, man. I don't know if TikTok should stay. That's something that, like, I'd be interested to know what Aaron Rodgers thinks about it, because obviously I take all my cues from people that have weekly spots in the Pat McAfee show. So we'll see. I will say this, though. Clapper, that's the TikTok knockoff American hangover version or whatever. I'm doing all right on Clapper. I got 500 followers yesterday off a video. I remember why I wanted to talk about dog piss, too. Dog piss was, I had to get piss from my dog for the vet to, you know, see if he's sick. And he pissed on my hand. And then that's it. That's it. That's that whole story. Probably could have just skipped right on over dog piss. I do have some shows coming up. I should talk to you guys about that, because this is something I'm excited for. I'm pumped. And I know I've been saying, like, I quit comedy. I'm done. You're going to pay me like it's a hobby. I'll get money on my real job. I know I've been saying all that shit on the podcast. But I have friends who run comedy clubs and book shows, so I book some shows. I've got 4 shows in New York that are coming up at the end of May. I've got 2 shows at the beginning of May in North Carolina at the Idiot Box Comedy Club. And I'm doing my friend's show. You know Meredith Hackman from The Pod. She's got a show here in LA. I don't remember the date off the top of my head. I think it's April 11th. It's a Friday night at a bar here, Sassafras Saloon. That's going to be a lot of fun. That's a free show. So you come support there. I think that's a free show. Who gives a fuck? Just come. What is it? $10 you're going to turn away and go back home, you fucking loser? It's a show. Show up. I'm pretty sure it's free, and if it's not, I'll fucking pay for it. You little bitch. So I got some shows coming up. That'll be fun. I haven't done stand-up in fucking forever. So I got to, like, I don't know what I got to do. I was going to say do mics, but fuck that. I got to get on some shows that I care less about and warm up. So hit me up if you run a show in LA that blows. Hit me up if you run a show that's a waste of time. Hit me up if you run my old show in LA, because that's exactly what that was. That was a waste of time. I'm just kidding. I made some of the best friends of my life at Barely Making It LA. Formerly known as Barely Making It LA. Now it's that show has been absorbed into the ether of past dead shows. You know, like, I always think it'd be funny if, you know, the only thing that survives our civilization after we destroy ourselves is like a computer GIF or like an old flyer from one of my shitty shows, and the alien race that inhabits this country later, like, builds a shrine to Barely Making It, and, you know, hosted by Rich Ruiz. Something like that would just be very funny to me. Like, I obviously hope that in the event of an alien takeover, that the Gettysburg Address is destroyed instantly and some shitty piece of art that I made lasts for eternity. That's what should happen. And speaking, this sucks, but I gotta do it. Jerry Foley, who passed away, unfortunately, a week ago, was the guy who got my, I sent my pilot into this festival, the North Fork TV Festival. This is 6 or 7 years ago, maybe longer than that, but I sent my pilot into this festival. I've been getting rejected from all this stuff. We made a pilot, me and my friend Chris Aurelio, and then the team that we assembled, made a pilot for like $7,000, which at the time was a lot of money for us, but that's nothing for like a 30-minute show. And we made it, and I emailed it in at like 2:00 in the morning after getting rejected from every other festival. And I got an email back from this guy like 30 minutes later, so which means he got my email and watched the pilot right away. and immediately emailed me back and was like, we already made all the selections for this festival, but I'm going to make an extra space for yours. That was Jerry Foley. This guy directed Letterman. He's like a Letterman director for years, like well-known in the industry. And as soon as I Googled him, I was like, holy fuck, man, this is like a legit guy. And Letterman had just ended then. Like, it wasn't like this guy was just coming off of running the most famous talk show of all time. He's running this festival. It's the biggest festival we applied to. And he saw something in my pilot that even I don't see sometimes when I watch it. Like, he saw a lot of potential in it and put me in this festival, and it was cool. And I got to ride the ride a little bit, as they say in Hollywood, for at least a month or so with the heat we got off of it. And he was just he was the coolest guy, man. Like, didn't need to be nice to me. Like, I had nothing to offer him back in the industry other than just being like a guy who made a thing. And he treated me the same as he treated famous people that were at the, like, he was just like a real guy. Like, he appreciated the work and what he did. So, you know, condolences to his family. It sucks. He died. He was not that old. He was like 68 from a skiing accident, which it just sucks. It bummed me out. Found out about it today, but I did want to say something. I know you guys probably don't know who Jerry Foley is, but throw on an old Letterman clip tonight or something and watch it. And know that this guy was behind the camera making it happen. I did have this one cool moment from when I was at the festival, because he was like, he was in it. He wasn't just like curating the stuff that went into the festival. He was like directing it. He's a director. It's what he was. And so we did this talk back after my thing aired, and it was me, my wife, and Chris Aurelio, the director and the co-writer. I was the writer and I was the main actor in it. And we're on stage and we're like just fielding questions about the pilot, you know, that little talk back. It's a little pretentious, but, you know, it's still fucking cool. And I guess we went over because, like, at one point I like look down by the stage and I see Jerry's face. Like, with his eyes are huge, his white hair, and he's going, wrap it. Like, he's mouthing, wrap it up. And I guess the host wasn't paying attention, so it was like he was kind of saying it to me. And what I thought in that moment was, like, how many times has, like, fuck Letterman been interviewing Obama and looked over and seen the same face that I was seeing, like, just fully screaming at him, not making words, but making the face, shut the fuck up and go to commercial. So it's just so cool. Like, in that moment, I was like, oh, wow, this is like a real Hollywood moment to be getting yelled at by a great director to shut the fuck up and get off stage. Made me so happy. So anyway, I don't know. Wanted to share that story. Great guy. You know, there's way more famous people sharing stories about him. But anyway, rest in peace, man. I have more stuff I was going to talk about, but it feels weird to do anything other than just end it after I do that. This is a short pod. We're going to have a guest on next week, so I'm not going to be doing too many more of these solos. I feel like I could keep rolling, but I'm not going to. But like I said, thank you guys for watching. I always appreciate the support. If you do like this podcast, tell a friend. Oh, I spit. I spit while I was talking. I don't know when that happened, but maybe you caught it on the camera there. But yeah, tell a friend about the show. That's the best way to, you know, make it happen. If you want to help me out. If you don't want to help me out, then why did you listen this long? I don't know. That's on you. If you're listening now and you hate it, I think you might like it. I'm sorry to tell you. I think you might be a fan and you don't realize. So anyway, I'll see you next week. Thanks. Talk to you later.